Euthanasia is legal for adults in Holland and Belgium. Now a movement of parents and pediatricians has grown up in support of euthanasia for children in cases of extreme pain and suffering. Some in those countries say that the killing of children goes too far. Frank Browning has this report.
Antoine van Dyck sits in the Ronald McDonald Parents' House outside a hospital near Eindhoven, Holland. His 30-week-old daughter lies in an incubator attached to wires, tubes, and hoses that keep her breathing and nourished. She was born at 26 weeks gestation, too young to survive without support.
First, when she came, the doctor said that it was to live or not to live. And after the week or 2 weeks, the quality of life has to develop.
Euthanasia is already legal for adults in Holland and Belgium, and surveys suggest that Northern Europeans support extending it to children when their quality of life seems intolerable. Antoine van Dyck feels the same.
When the quality of life is so low, then I should say not to live. When they say that so many things are wrong with a child, then I think you should say not to let it live.
Antoine was lucky. His daughter's vital organs developed well, and she was soon to go home. But many others are not so lucky. 60% of the infants who die in the neonatology unit die because their organs cannot continue functioning when the machines are turned off. Disconnecting children from mechanical life support is legal in Holland, but sometimes parents ask the hospital to be more aggressive, says pediatrician Martin Decline.
Some parents with children who are very, very ill, who suffer it week by week, month by month, they want to stop treatment. They thought that the child might be better off dead than alive, but that was completely impossible.
Completely impossible, because consciously acting to end a child's life is illegal in Holland.
When you end the life of a child in the Netherlands, you commit murder.
Child euthanasia is against the law in Holland and Belgium, but many doctors there have said that it does happen on occasion. They say the incidents involve children who suffer from painful terminal illnesses and that their deaths are quietly handled. Now, a broad movement of doctors, nurses, and parents in these countries wants to extend legal protection to health professionals who end the lives of infants and children. A hospital in northern Holland has been working with prosecutors to develop a legal protocol. 4 times in recent months, doctors have given lethal injections to newborns who are terminally ill. Despite public controversy, official investigations have found that the doctors made appropriate decisions. Pediatrician Martin Decline says doctors consciously end lives of about half a dozen babies every year in the Netherlands. Decline, who chairs a group called Dilemma, describes the kind of procedure he favors for children's euthanasia.
When you are open, when you contact the prosecutor afterwards, when you have it reviewed by a board of experts, then we will not prosecute the doctor who ended that life.
In Belgium, advocates want to make childhood euthanasia a right of national law. But while euthanasia, and even childhood euthanasia, wins wide support, there are dissenters. Henk Jochemsen directs the Lindeboom Institute for Medical Ethics.
I understand that in certain circumstances you have to stop treatment and accept the death of a baby. But I think that you cannot define the conditions beforehand under which you could intentionally end the life of the baby.
Here, of course, is where policy smacks into unexpected and complicated particulars. Most of the babies who die under the care of Dr. Decline in Holland, for instance, died when they were taken off life support. But 25 years ago, a gravely ill child appeared at his hospital with a terminal disease and multiple broken bones.
He was born with a lot of fractures of the bone, had a lot of pain, and we ended that life purposely.
The image of the parents and the child is something he still carries with him.
It's very difficult because our job is to save patients, to save especially children, and it's completely against everything we have learned for years and years to treat and to save patients. But sometimes that is a better option than life.
Ethicist Henk Jochemsen opposes any policy or rule of thumb that could prescribe when a doctor could end a life. He wants each case to be considered individually, from the disconnection of life support to the over-medication of a patient in order to end life.
If a physician thinks that in certain circumstances he has to increase the dosages of medication and the baby will die, then those cases have to be investigated in principle by the courts.
Some treatment could ethically be discontinued, he argues, but not all.
I would accept taking away virtually all life-sustaining support and accept the death of the baby sooner or later.
So, to stop feeding as well?
Not on principle. Feeding would be normal care, I would say. If, for example, the only way to give food and fluids to a baby is an infusion, then you could maybe accept taking away the fusion and somehow try to at least provide in a normal way with a nasal tube or with a bottle, and you offer food and fluids in that way, then this probably could contribute to a sooner death of the baby. That would be acceptable under certain circumstances, I think.
For Jochensen, who bases his arguments on Christian principles, a broad legal protection for health workers who euthanize children would only encourage the practice. As Jochensen sees it, suppressing life intentionally, killing the baby, as Dr. Decline did, corrupts the very life-giving ethical code of Western medicine.
Giving up this cornerstone of traditional medical ethics is going to change the whole field of medical ethics, as we are already seeing. By his attitude, the doctor may convey the message that in her or his understanding, the patient would be better off asking for euthanasia.
Little by little, Jochensen fears a new complacency toward death is spreading through Europe. It's not just the existing euthanasia laws for adults. He also points to proposed legislation in Belgium that could guarantee adolescents the right to die. The legislation was introduced to the Belgian Parliament by co-sponsor Paul Willey.
In our small country of 10 million people, 100 to 200 kids are in a terminal condition and in a desperate condition, and some of the parents and some of the kids are wishing to put an end to their lives. And we want to extend the law to such extent that an individual lower than 18 years can ask for euthanasia. The parents will not be allowed to co-decide, but will be present at any step of the decision-making.
The debate over helping children to die is made all the more agonizing because Western societies expend so many resources and so much effort to keep children alive. Dutch epidemiologist Agnes van der Heide has studied the euthanasia debate for more than a decade. She says the medical technology that keeps people alive, children and adults, puts pressure on everyone to decide how to handle death.
The desire of people and of parents to be involved in important medical decisions for their children has grown. So there's much more debate and much more between physicians, nurses, parents and other people involved.
Van der Heide says people who are more religious tend to resist ending life more than secular people. She also says that nurses have become much more aggressive in the debate than ever before.
Nurses more often advocate not to extend life by using intensive care techniques than physicians.
Sandrine is a nurse on a cancer ward in a hospital outside Paris.
Et nous, on est là, on travaille 12 heures par jour auprès des patients, on est là à leur tenir la main.
We spend 12 hours a day next to the patient, we talk to him, we try to comfort him, we sometimes make him suffer because we have to do injections, things like that. So sometimes we make the patient suffer. The families, we see them crying and telling us to stop the machines. So sometimes we have discussions afterwards with the doctors to tell them to change their attitude and to stop giving pills to help the heart, for example, so that the person can die slowly and quietly.
Perhaps even more important, from Sandrine's point of view, is a fundamental difference in how doctors, who are mostly men, and nurses, who are mostly women, look at their professions.
Le ressenti, oui, à mon avis, il est différent parce que le médecin...
The problem with the doctors is if there is the slightest hope they, for moral questions, they decide not to disconnect and not to follow our advice, because if there is a little hope, they want to try and do something else to save the person.
As more people become involved in the debate over euthanasia and children, more fault lines are emerging between the religious and the secular, between ethical viewpoints, between political viewpoints, between doctors and nurses, between the hypothetical and the real. For the parents of children who are terminally ill and suffering, the choices are all the more confusing when they see the children surrounded by a high-tech universe of tubes, wires, and bleeping machines. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.